and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 177, the color of the year episode. Yep, it's that time of year. Pantone has released not one, but two colors, although I'm not sure about that, because if you go to their website, they kind of blend the colors, which I think is the point. The New York Times actually had an article about the 2016 colors of the year, that it's a political statement about gender blending. So that's fine. Although, you know, it's December 9th, and I'm tired of political statements of all kinds. I would like, say, the next, what do we got left? 22 days to be political statement free. I know that's not going to happen. In any event, I'm interested in how Pantone picks colors of the year. I'm interested to know, is it a reflective choice or a prediction, right? Is this something that, our colors are, I don't think I said, rose quartz and serenity, right? And again, it kind of shown at blended into a kind of periwinkle. So the colors work for me because I look fabulous in periwinkle, okay? They're really pretty, and it seems like it's been a little while since we've seen a pastel as the color of the year. So they're quite lovely colors, both separately and blended together. But I'm curious, Pantone, the Pantone folks, are they predicting? We think this is what's up around the next bend. We predict that when you go into your fabric shop, when you go into your store, when you go to the fashion shows, this is what you're going to be seeing. This is based on our best guess. Or have they been looking, say, at the fashion shows of 2015 in Paris and Milan and New York and going, you know what we're really starting to see are these pastels, the pinks and the blues and the periwinkles. That seems to be coming into vogue. So is it reflective of what they have seen this year that they feel is going to come mainstream in 2016? I don't know. Do you know? I was not able to find this out as I looked around. So anyway, colors of the year, rose quartz and serenity. I know people do projects. People do quilting projects based on the color or colors, in our case, of the year. I have not. You know, I can't even do regular projects. I can't get abstract with my quilting projects. Do you know what I mean? Is that the right word? I'm a very concrete quilter. I can't set up sort of projects outside of the very real projects that I have on my list. So as much as I keep saying that I will, that I'll join this or that, I'll do the Jenny Byers block of the month on Craftsy, or I'll do this, Sherry D and I try Dresden Plate, my own quilt along I didn't do. So no, not taking on extraneous quilting projects at the moment. What am I doing? I'm getting ready for Christmas. Happy holidays, whatever holiday it is that you celebrate or do your best to ignore. I am working on my least favorite part of Christmas, which is the gift list. I love making a gift list for me. All it is a really long list of books. That's all I want. And then the man can take the boys to our favorite little artsy craftsy shop and buy me some earrings. I just don't have anything big this year that I want. But I'm also, my children don't seem to have anything that they want this year either. It is hard shopping for kids in the digital age. Everything's online. We're also at that age. Will's 13, Jack's 16, almost 17. We're just in the clothes age. It's just like, here's some clothes, here's some money, have a big time. We're not buying you a car. So there you go. I mean, in some families, the 16-year-olds are getting cars. Not in our family. So anyway, I need to get through this. I need to hand off my rough draft lists to the man, and then he kind of goes over everything and adds and subtracts, and we The boys sometimes do us the kindness of putting some stuff up on doing Amazon wish lists. And Jack has done actually a pretty comprehensive one. And Will, he just can't think of what he wants. He's 13. You know, his brain's just kind of scrambled. He does fine in school. It's not that, but it's just hard to focus, I think, when you're a 13-year-old boy. So, yes, Christmas. Trying to get through to the good part, which is, of course, December 26th, when you have all your new books and a lot of Chex Mix, and all the food is cooked for the next few days. My favorite part of Christmas. I am done with the table runner top, and after I finish up here, by the way, no quilt diaries today, just haven't done them. And I think it's just from being sick. You know, I feel fine now. But last week, I really did not regain energy until Saturday. This bug is going around. It's everywhere around here. So if you're on the East Coast, you probably have it too. And it's very weird and takes different forms with different people, but vaguely the same symptoms. Yeah, the man has it now. And you know it must be bad because he never admits to getting sick. But even he, like, took a day off work and slept a lot. So there you have it. So anyway, no quilt diaries. But I have been working on the table runner. I have finished the top. And after I finish up here, my plan is to baste it and quilt. And I'm not doing anything fancy. I am doing stitch in the ditch. I am quilting, probably doing a zigzag around the snowflakes and then stitching in the ditch. And the other, I don't want the quilting to any way detract. And also, I want the table runner to lie flat, so I don't want to over quilt it at all. But I hope that when we get our tree on Friday, and we will actually put it up on Saturday, and I hope that I will be all the way done. I think I'm going to spray baste. You know, I got that spray based a few weeks ago. I still haven't spray basted the pot holder that I'm doing, and so I think when I get done with this, I'm going to go out to the porch and spray baste the table runner and the pot holder. And I don't think it's going to take anything to get the table runner quilted. I think that's going to be a couple of hours of a quilting job. Speaking of hours, if I remember to do this, I will try to, but I posted something on Twilters day before yesterday, and it was something that just somebody on another Facebook quilting group that I follow posted, and it was essentially a breakdown of the cost of making a quilt. I think it's a little bit old because, for instance, all the fabric was, I think, $8 a yard, something like that. And I can't remember what size quilt it was. When everything was added up, it was like $800, close to $900. Essentially, it's, I think, a handy dandy sheet to have if someone says, what if I give you $100 to, would you make me a quilt? And, you know, you can just say, here you go. Think about this. These rates are low. The one thing that someone brought up, I think Kristen brought up, that on the, it breaks down everything by time, like how many hours you actually spend making, piecing the quilt and quilting the quilt and all of that. And they had for putting on the binding 10 hours. And Kristen's like, that seems high to me. And that does seem high to me too. I do hand sew the back of the binding, but I think if I were doing a big quilt, I'm trying to think when I finished the mosaic quilt, maybe 4 hours, and that might be even more than it actually took. So 10 hours seems a lot, but I will try to remember to link. But otherwise, if I don't, become a twilter. We're having fun, guys. What you have to do, if you're on Facebook and you want to be a twilter, you need to friend me. You need to say, "What?" If you don't think I will recognize your name, like if you're not a frequent commenter, or you know, one of my friends who just comments in their head, friend me and send a message saying, "Please, I'd like to be a twilter, or I'd like to be in the twilter group." We have to be friends in order for me to get you into the group. But I'm happy to do that. Several people have done that recently. And it's just, it's a fun conversation. It's a fun way to be in community together. So, and I will try to remember to get a link to that sheet. I thought it was interesting. I went to Thimble Pleasures on Monday, I believe. Today's Wednesday. I don't know. Did I mention that? Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. So Monday, and picked up a few, just a third of a yard cuts of some Christmassy fabric. And my next project, I would really like to make two of these pillows. And I think I can. They're very simple. You're just cutting out like 36 blocks, squares. And I'm not sure how big they are. Maybe 3 inch, maybe smaller. And so it looks like a pretty simple project. And I think it would be nice to have a couple Christmas pillows when we put up the tree. Not for the tree, but for the chairs around the tree. So that is where I am quilty-wise. Oh, and I still have the Pantone screen up, and it keeps the word Pantone keeps coming out at me. It's a very tranquil picture of, it's a woman. She's wearing a rose quartz shirt, sort of shapeless shirt, and then some serenity blue pants, and then behind her there's kind of a sheet is draped around her, a very humongous scarf, let us say, and that's where the blue and the pink are blending together. Anyway, the word Pantone keeps coming out at me, and I should tell you, on Friday I did something I don't usually do. A friend of mine, Allison, has become a representative for a company called Beauty Counter. This is a company that makes beauty products, primarily skin and hair care products, that have very few chemicals. You may or may not know that the European Union bans like 1,400 chemicals from self-care products that the FDA still approves of. And I won't go through the whole spiel, but there's thoughts that some of these chemicals may actually be bad for us. And that the beauty counter was started by a woman, and she, part of the business, there's sort of a political wing that is lobbies Congress to get the FDA to do more research into these chemicals. Anyway, Allison is a home healthcare worker, a nurse. She dyed her hair. She probably went to a salon and had her hair dyed a few months ago, and had an allergic reaction to the dye. And so started researching online what was going on. And apparently there is a chemical in hair dye that a number of people react to, have allergic reactions to. And that got her thinking about how she's always counseling people about what they put into their bodies, but she's never thought much about what she puts onto her body. I think I emphasized that wrong. Onto her body. What are we putting onto our bodies? Not just into, but onto. And more research led her to a beauty counter. As it turns out, a friend she grew up with in Raleigh is a beauty counter representative. So now she's doing, and they do home parties. I'm not a home party girl. I don't know if that would surprise you about me. But I don't attend them, nor do I wish to host one. And yet I have done one of those things and will be doing the other. Yes, and here's why. First of all, Allison is the mother of Wynn, who's one of Will's absolute best friends. They've been best friends since kindergarten, I think. I think it's kindergarten or first grade. And Will's always been very close to Wynn and another boy named Gavin. And I have a sense in seventh grade that he and Gavin have grown apart. But you know what? I have to remind myself there's nothing I can do about that. There's, you know, I have no, it's not my business. I don't quite know what's going on. And the road is long. And they have many more years together. So, and maybe they'll be friends again. Maybe they won't. But the friendship with Wynn holds. And this fall, Wynn's family has been taking Will to UNC football games. That's the University of North Carolina. And Wynn's parents, Allison and Dax, are Rams Head Club members. This means they donate a lot of money to the university. They get good deals on tickets. They every year buy tickets, whatever that's called when you buy, they buy season tickets. I was about to say whatever it's called when you buy tickets for the entire season. I believe they are season ticket holders, yes. And they actually have a block of seats and they share with another family, and this family had a baby this fall. So they have not been using their tickets. And so the Wynn's family very nicely has been bringing Will to games because he loves football and he loves Wynn and Wynn loves him. And so it's a great situation, but you know, there's absolutely no, you know, the tickets are bought. We can't pay for them. We have offered and it's like, no. But you know, this is quite, and it's done out of friendship, but this, you don't have to make an economic transaction. I understand that. I don't want to, you know, make this into a crude kind of money thing. At the same time, you kind of feel like, wow, it would be nice if we could do something with Wynn that's sort of equal to that. And the fact is, the only thing I think we could do is take him to Disney World, which we're not going to do because we can't actually afford to do that. So we're kind of like, what do we do? And one of the things is Will is going to make, this seems so small, but at least he is going to make them something, like, I think, fudge, and we're going to get a nice tin, and he's going to then also write a very nice thank you note, so we can do that, and I can go to Allison's home party for her beauty counter products and spend a lot of money, which I did. I'm looking forward to getting my order, which I should come in sometime this week or next week. The products themselves are very nice. They have a light citrus smell, and they feel good and silky. And I guess that's part of the deal, is that there are other companies that have done these chemical-free products, but they don't feel good and they don't smell good. And you know, as sometimes is the case with sort of organic cleaning products, they don't do the same thing that the original does. But these products are supposedly work, and they certainly smell good and feel good. So that is what I did. And on top of that, Allison asked if I would be interested in doing a home party here, and I told her that I would. I really don't want to. I really, really don't want to. But their family has been so kind, and it's a way to repay the kindness a little bit. So that's going to be sometime in January. You will hear all about it. But why Pantone makes me think of that? Because we were taught. So Allison did two parties on Friday, one in the morning where I think there were a lot of people, and then one in the evening, and there were fewer people there, one of whom is a woman I know who I'm very friendly with. Her son also goes to the same school as Wynn and Will. We're not friends, but she seems lovely and sweet, and we always make big smiley faces and wave, go hi, when we see each other. And she was talking about, she uses Pantene, and everyone else was sort of horrified, like, oh, you use Pantene on your hair, like shampoo? And I was like, oh man, I use Pert. I mean, I get all my beauty products at the drugstore. I'm not a very good girl in that way. You know, I've never really gotten into like grown-up cosmetics. Every once in a while, I'll get something, but I'm too cheap. So yeah, all my stuff is like Noxzema and Seabreeze and Clairol and Maybelline. So who knows? Maybe I will be converted to grown-up beauty products when I get the really expensive beauty products I just bought. But that was, you know, everyone was so shocked that someone would use Pantene. And I thought, Pantene? I thought that was kind of high-end. So anyway, so Pantene, Pantone, there you have it. By the way, I want to say thanks to everyone who commented on episode 176. Just got a lot of nice comments about the music. I heard from Very Lazy Daisy. Heard from Noni. And I got thank you to Noni and several other people who commented with very good ideas about how to turn my nephew's artwork into a quilt. Now, I have to say, the last comment I got on that was from Kelly the Fifth, who suggested just sending it to Spoonflower and having it printed as a whole cloth quilt. Oh my goodness. You know, and I saw that, I was like, ooh, that sounds like such a good idea. And as Kelly the Fifth pointed out, there are some fabulous negative spaces in the quilt that would give me a chance to practice quilt patterns. So that's a really good idea. I have already gone ahead and gotten Devin something else for Christmas, but his birthday is coming up in May. And yeah, I might do that. But I do want to thank Noni and Marianne, and also Margaret Kay, who's just sort of echoing Noni, said that she thought that Noni's idea about using a freezer paper was good. If you want to have a quick tutorial on how one might take a piece of artwork, an abstract piece of artwork, and turn it into a quilt, please look at the comments for episode 176. Again, thanks so much, Noni. Got a nice comment from KDR, who, yet another listener who pictured Travis as a dark brown dog. And then I posted a picture of Travis on Instagram, and someone else said, oh, I pictured Travis as bigger. No, he's just a little white dog. He's a cutie. Every morning for the last week or so, when it's sunny, he gets on the ottoman in the living room as the sun hits the ottoman. So I think he just likes the warmth of the sun. And he looks, it's just sort of magical looking, and I've been taking portraits of him when he does that. So anyway, I'll post one. And then you can tell me, that's not how he looks in my head. But that's actually the artsy pictures I'm doing are not the most representative of Travis. But he is small. He weighs 22 pounds. He's a cockapoo. And he's sort of a caramel white color. He's darling. Heard from Quilt and Jenny, who is a little concerned that she sounded, when I read her comment about copyright, that it sounded even more grouchy when I read it than it did in her head when she wrote it. And she wanted to clarify. She says, I guess I need to clarify to say that I do respect copyright for work that people do, but get frustrated when some designers get snippy about being copied when their designs are not all that original in the first place. And I should say, I heard from Kristen, she sent a picture to me of, I think it was from the Fat Quarter Shop, and it was a quilt. It was just strips, like maybe 8-inch strips, one on top of the other. She said it wasn't, yeah, I bet this is just basically, here's an example of a quilt pattern that perhaps should not be copied, does not deserve to be copyrighted. And yes, and I absolutely agree. It's interesting because I put yesterday a query. I'm still a member of the American Quilt Study Group. My membership runs out in January, and I think I'm going to let it run out for good at that time. But I thought, well, as long as we're thinking about this, I'd be curious about, how long has this been an issue? So I posted a query asking about scholarship and if people thought, was this a newer issue because of the internet and the ease which we can get patterns, share patterns, post pictures of our quilts based on patterns, et cetera, et cetera. The response has not been overwhelming. One person did say they remember listening to a talk on copyright in the early 1990s. And somebody mentioned, I don't know if you've heard of, I think it's Ruby McKim, who was a quilt pattern designer, very, very popular in the 1930s. She herself did not make quilts, but she did designs. And her family, who I guess still owns at least the copyright to her books, is not happy. Well, and this makes sense to me. So Dover Publications, I have a copy of the Dover Publications book that is just a reprint of her patterns. But and it sounds like Dover Publications, you know, they just get stuff out of the public domain. And it's a little unclear, is the problem that they basically just reprinted her book or that they reprinted the patterns, but that's from the 1930s. So, and I would imagine that they would not have reprinted the book if it were not in the public domain. So maybe the issue is, yeah, but those patterns are still Ruby McKim's. Don't know if I hear anything interesting. I was hoping that someone had really looked into this, and fortunately did get one really good comment that I felt was not so important for me, but important to other people to understand. You know, because some of the comments I was getting were mostly explaining copyright to me. It's like, I understand why things should be copyrighted. I understand copyright, but it's like, what I think the issue for so many people is what Quilt and Jenny's talking about. Right, it's these patterns that are in that muddy gray area where it's like, how can you copyright? How can you copyright, a log cabin block or a bear claw or, you know? So anyway, So one person did finally say, I think the issue is this, and talked about that gray area. But whether anyone has written anything or thought substantially about that sort of in a scholarly way right now, I don't know. I'll let you know if more is revealed. Now, Quilt and Jenny said, I think your nephew, as an artist, would appreciate and value a quilt that made that is inspired by his work and not a duplicate. So, I don't know. I think he is young enough to maybe want the duplicate. And maybe if he were older, he would appreciate the homage, you know? But I don't know. Maybe either way, Jenny, maybe either way, he would be happy to have the duplicate, but he might also like that idea of me going, I really liked your picture, and here's my response to your picture. So you could be right. Okay. Heard from Margaret Kay, who, among other nice things, said she just finished reading Anybody Shining. Thank you, Margaret Kay. And, oh, you wish it had included an Applestack cake recipe? Margaret Kay, being from the West Coast, had never heard of Applestack cake, which is a delicacy of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Margaret Kay, if I think about it, I actually wrote for the North Carolina Folklife Institute's food blog a piece on Applestack cake that I believe comes with the recipe. So I'm going to try to remember to put that, a link to that blog post, in the show notes. Got a nice comment from Marianne, and she talked about patterns and using patterns so she rarely buys patterns. Most of the patterns she's bought were for applique. So only bought one kit, never purchased a jelly roll or any other pre-cut coordinated fabrics. She says, I typically use all kinds of sources for inspiration and may use snips from all over to create one quilt. Even in the instances where I do use most of a pattern, I change up the borders or the colors or something to make the quilt my own. And that, to me, is also the interesting gray area. I'm sure copyright law says, you know, basically if you use most of the pattern, then it's copyrighted. But I don't know. So many people, it's like we use patterns for inspiration, right? And then, I usually stick to the whole pattern. But even I have deviated from patterns. And at what point does the quilt become your own, you know? And so that's our gray area that we're playing around with. Now, I thought this was interesting that Margaret said. I look at quilting and patterns. No, this isn't Margaret. This is Mary Ann. Sorry. I look at quilting and patterns in a similar light as cooking. If I make the Toll House cookie recipe from the back of a Nestle's chips, sell them, and call them my own, I'm probably violating some copyright agreement. However, if I tweak it and make something inspired by the original, I contend I can do whatever I want with that. Now, recipes are very interesting. I don't think there's really good copyright law for recipes. You can tell me if I'm wrong. I think that if you say if you were to use the Nestle's Toll House recipe that's on the back of the bag and then sell them as Nestle's Toll House, that's where the problem comes. But as long as you just say, hey, these are Mary Ann's chocolate chip cookies. And we all know, we've all seen recipes that, you know, that came from another source that people claim, oh, I just came up with this. And it's like, no, you didn't, because I read it in Ida's book, or I read it in a Jamie Oliver book, or whatever, you know. So recipes are harder, I think. But I wonder, it'd be interesting to think about them in terms as being analogies for quilts. What is the difference between kind of a pattern and a recipe? You know, I understand a pattern. I have to think about that. That question interests me. Marianne also pointed out, she says this, recipes and clothing are not covered under the copyright laws because they are considered to be functional as opposed to decorative like art. So does that imply that if I make a quilt and call it a bedspread that I'm not violating any copyright laws? Or does the fact that it is hanging in a quilt show imply that it is art? These are very good questions for us to ponder. If you have a thought, let us know. Heard from Kristen, who loves the music intro and outro, or as Lazy Daisy called them, the bumpers. She has a few thoughts about patterns as well. Kristen writes, I think that it's kind of a personality thing. And also, here we go. I think it's kind of like following a recipe. There are people who always follow a recipe and people who never follow a recipe and people who start out following recipes and then eventually get confident enough to branch out on their own. Some people enjoy having someone with some skills create a nice pattern and do all the math. That is me, says Francis. I am one of those people. Oh, it's Kristen too. But I have also designed a few simple quilts myself as I've gotten more confident. I agree that a lot of what is passing for quote-unquote patterns is pretty basic stuff. But for my very first quilt, I bought a simple patchwork pattern, just squares, but it taught me to quilt and was worth every penny. Kristen also admits in her comment, she's never labeled a quilt. Kristen, label your quilts. Help the future quilt historians. They need your help. Everybody, label your quilts. Do it for your family. Do it for your family when you're Grandma Kristen and Great-Grandma Kristen. Jay, heard from Jay, who also had some very good ideas about what to do with Devin's artwork. And she said to think about it in layers. The bottom layer can be easily pieced with a wedge ruler. Then you could layer the circles on top and applique them to the top of the piecing. Finally, you could trim the fabric piece to the correct size. And she provides a link to a wedge ruler. Jay also provides a link to her website, artquiltmaker.com. It's actually a link to all her tutorials, and Jay's tutorials are great. She's a great teacher. She has a lot of knowledge, and her written tutorials are very, very helpful. So I would absolutely recommend checking that out. Heard from Sandy. Over from Sandy Quilting for the Rest of Us, and she posted a link on copyright, and it's a blog post, and the title is Copyright versus Courtesy, and it's an interesting post, and I recommend that you check it out. Sandy is not a pattern person. She prefers to do her own design, but patterns are very useful for speed, learning, and making life easy on yourself. And I absolutely agree. And also, Sandy's another person like, love when someone else does the math for me. And I heard from Kelly the Fifth, who I mentioned, had the spoonflower idea, which I kind of like. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to comment. Thank you to everybody who emailed or just commented in your head. If you haven't done a review over on iTunes, or if it's been a long time since you've done a review over on iTunes, I sure would appreciate it. I know that you are very kind and lovely and would only say kind and lovely things, but that would be great, especially as we move into the publication process and start trying to actually, I don't know, sell some books. I don't know. It sounds like I'm commodifying my podcast in a way that I'm not. But anyway, it also just makes me feel good. I love hearing from you. Come over to offkilterquilt.com to leave a comment or email me at F as in Francis, Dowell as in do well, fdowell@nc.rr.com. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think of the music and the new site. We are about to put up a gallery. That will be the next new thing on the Off Kilter Quilt site. It will be a gallery of my quilts, almost all of them. There are a few older ones and a few that may have gotten away without a picture. I'm not sure, but most of them. So I'm looking forward to that. That may be up this week. And the man has been working on all the pictures, and then tonight I need to go in and identify all the quilts. So that will be the next thing coming along for the website. So I'm excited. And again, thank you so much for all your kind words. The man did do all the design. Our friend Ben did the music. And it's nice. I like having the music. I think that sounds good. So I think that's it for now. I will be back Monday after next. Is that correct? Yes, that is correct. And in 10 days, I'll be back in 10 days. Oh, you know, we haven't talked about books. I wanted to tell you. So I think last time I talked about the new Kate Morton book, that it came in. I had it on hold. It came in same time as the new JoJo Mays book. And I had talked with Jay. We had Skyped. And she had finished reading the new Kate Morton book called The Lake House. And she said, you just need to go ahead and read it. But you know what? I started reading it and I was into it so much. I'm like, no, I'm not going to read it now. Jay, I am going to show some serious delayed gratification skills, because I could just see myself the day after Christmas sitting on the couch with Travis by my side with a bowl of Chex Mix and some chocolate truffles and Christmas punch reading this book. It's that kind of book. I just knew about 20 pages in, I was like, I'm going to like this book. This is exactly the perfect book for post-Christmas reading. And I'm also afraid as things get more stressed out here, we're, you know, 2.5 weeks out from Christmas, that I wouldn't get it read. And it's the kind of book that, you know, I'm not going to be able to renew because there are too many holds on it. So I am letting that go and then putting it on my Christmas list. I'm also letting the JoJo Moyes, who wrote Me Before You, which I've read at least twice, cried like a baby both times, wonderful, charming, just lovely book. And so the new book, I believe, is called Me After You. It's a sequel, and I've read about 30 pages. I'm like, not into it. And I just feel like I see the wheels turning. So she introduced a character, and I just like, oh gosh, you know. And it's just, I don't know. And it's gotten tons of really positive Amazon.com reviews. But I just knew that it was. And there's another book of hers. Okay, the new book, by the way, I just pulled up Amazon. It's called After You. And then there was a book I got at our Christmas party last year, the book club Christmas party, called One Plus One. I got it because Liz, who's in our book group, had spent a year in England, a sabbatical year with her husband, who's a professor. And so she had the British version, which was out before the American. And I didn't finish that. I just, because sometimes these books, it's like, yeah, I get it, plot-driven books, or here's a problem, here's a problem, here's a problem. How are we going to get over all these problems? And it moves everything along. And at the same time, I'm just like, no. And it's like, I just couldn't do it. So I may be off JoJo Moyes, but I really loved Me Before You. I loved that book. So that's going back as well. If you're wondering as far as what other books I'm asking for Christmas, and that's pretty much all I'm doing is asking for books, I'm going to ask for the newish Susan Branch book. Do you know Susan Branch? She is, I've talked about her. She's someone who probably should irritate me, but doesn't. I think she's very, very charming. And I loved her book about England, A Fine Romance, about a summer trip she took to England a few years ago. She has a book called The Fairy Tale Girl. It's a novel, but I think it's a very lightly novelized version of her romance with Joe, the man who became her husband. I am also asking for The Shepherd's Life, which is about, it's nonfiction by James Rebanks. It's a book that's gotten a lot of great reviews. It got a great New York Times review, but it's a shepherd, a sheep farmer, I think in England. It's possible Ireland, but I think England. In any event, his family have been sheep farmers for hundreds of years, and it's just talking about this way of life, and it sounds wonderful and like a good Christmas read. And then Dispatches from Pluto by Richard Grant. He is an Englishman who came. He and his wife or partner, I'm not sure which, decided, for reasons I'm not sure about, but I'll find out when I read the book, to buy an old plantation in either Mississippi or Alabama. I think Mississippi. And they moved in this like Pluto, Mississippi, and it's about his experiences there and the people he meets. And it got great reviews, and it sounds wonderful. So I'm asking for that. And The Lake House. I think Marilyn Robinson has a new collection of essays that is on my list. And then also Wool Gathering by Patti Smith. I don't know if you're a Patti Smith friend, fan or friend. This is a book about her childhood. She's a wonderful writer, and I read M Train earlier this fall and loved it. I really am just a huge fan of hers. So those are the books on my list so far. I have actually about five or six more that I could add to the list, but I don't know. I start feeling greedy. I asked for the, as far as quilting books, the Red and White Quilt book. That can't, that's what I asked my sister-in-law and brother to give me. And a big heavy book has come from Amazon wrapped in that beautiful Amazon wrapping paper. And I reckon that's what it is, since that's the only thing I asked for from them. So those are my books. I would be interested to hear, are you asking for books for Christmas, Hanukkah, any other sort of winter holiday that you might celebrate? And if so, what are they? What do you hope to be reading in late December with the in front of the fire with lots of good candy and Chex Mix by your side? Let me know. I'd love to hear. Do you know, I think I said all this stuff about contact, and I realized that's in my outro, isn't it? I'm not used to having this music, these intros and pre-recorded outros. Okay, so sorry about that. Sorry for the repetition. All right, I just listened to my outro. I paused there and listened to my outro. So I can't even say goodbye now, right? But I just will remind you, you have been listening to a professional quilting podcast that does have, according to Lazy Daisy, bumpers, and I couldn't be prouder.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.